Three.
Nicola Nicola, top plastic surgeon in Beverly Hills, and me, your co-host, Jasmine Jacob. We're so happy to have you guys on our show today. But we do have a bit of some tragic news that happened over the weekend, right, Dr. Nick? Our first lady, Nancy Reagan,
very tragic
passed away.
To me.
Yeah, she passed away on Sunday.
Yes, Ronald Reagan was a fraternity brother. Yes, he's a little older than me. But it's somebody I campaigned for in my college days. Yes, long time ago. Absolutely.
Wow.
And I got a chance to meet him on two different occasions. And I have to say, whatever you may think of his politics, he was a man of great conviction and a lot of charisma. And when it came to charisma and strength of character, Nancy Reagan was a great partner for him, and she carried that off every step of the way. And if you think about it, a model first lady in every way.
Yeah.
So for me, that is very sad news.
Oh, my God. I can't believe you got the opportunity to meet him and campaign for him. That's amazing. What
It was his first campaign, which I'm dating myself. And I was a young college student running around doing all the things that you will do on a campaign trail. And I have to say it was very gratifying to see him win and see him go through two terms and accomplish all the things that he did.
Wow, that's so incredible. What were the types of stuff that you got to do for him? Did you, like, interact with him in any way?
No, not that much.
Yeah.
As a freshman in college, you don't get to interact with the presidential candidate that much, but it was a treat just to get a chance to meet him and shake his hand and listen to him talk. For me, that was very inspiring.
That's so incredible. So incredible. It's so sad. It was really sad news to hear that over the weekend.
But one of the things that made him strong is his wife. Nancy Reagan was a strong woman who always had his back. She always was there for advice, one of the few people he trusted, and she always handled herself with grace in public and in private, from what I understand. So it's someone to look up to. Again, you may not stand for everything Ronald Reagan stood for or Nancy Reagan stood for, but you have to admire the way they handled the office of the president and the way they behaved and the charisma that was portrayed in everything they did. There was a certain grace.
It was such a graceful couple.
Right. It is not easy to find these days.
You know, they always say behind every great man, there's a great woman.
And sometimes the other way around. For all the women out there, they're successful. Usually it does take a great man to stand behind you. And it doesn't have to be a one-way thing. But, yes, it's important for couples to support each other, to make themselves better. And 1 + 1 should be 3, not 2. That's when it really works.
Yeah, and I just looking into their relationship more, I mean, of course, you know, when anyone passes away, you just tend to dig deep and see, like, what their life was about and the legacy that they left behind. And Nancy was just such an amazing, influential woman. I mean, not only was she just supported in stem cell research, and she's just done a bunch for, you know, she was just set an example as a first lady, and she truly just stood her own as a force, as an icon, and that's some of the it's just so incredible to see just how a first lady she wasn't behind the shadow of Ronald. She stood her own, and she was an icon herself and a legend, and it's just amazing to revisit that and see that. And she's incredibly graceful, style icon, everything. She's an amazing woman.
The most important part is the fact that she could stand her own without trying to overshadow, without trying to step on anybody's toes, without trying to outdo her husband, but in the same way, shine her own light, make a difference, something that's unique to her, and at the same time, compliment her husband. And that's a skill that a lot of us should learn. And it's a skill that probably a lot of us lack, me included. We all try, but she did it better than anyone I know. And yes, she was graceful. When you look at her, I happened to see her on my street where my office is a little over a year ago. And I have to tell you, at her age, she still had grace. And that's the best way to describe it. You can talk about beauty. What do you think about beauty? But when you're able to achieve grace, it's everything combined. The way you look, the way you handle yourself, the image you portray, the words that you use, your behavior, the way you dress, it's all combined. And it all speaks to you, and you see it, and it's not one thing in particular. It all comes together.
Yeah, I want to age as gracefully as her. She's just beautiful. She just looks absolutely beautiful. I mean, I'm looking at all these pictures of her, and she just aged so gracefully and well. Beautiful. She's a beautiful woman.
And a lot of it has to do with, again, being a plastic surgeon, since we're going in that direction, a lot of it has to do with being appropriate. If you're 94, you're not going to look 30. And has she had plastic surgery? Allegedly, she may have. But make yourself look better. Look good for your age. Look good where people are envious that you are lucky. Don't try to be someone else. Don't try to look years younger where you start looking ridiculous. You're an old person trying to be 20. It's like wearing leather pants at 90. Well, I've seen it, and actually, I know a few people that can pull it off. But for most people, it kind of seems inappropriate. And when people see you, they kind of wonder what happened. The two don't match. And all you end up doing is looking ridiculous. So being appropriate and looking good, but looking good for your age, looking good for what you're trying to be and what you are, that's what really matters.
Well, Nancy, she's just the queen of being appropriate. I mean, she did not overdo it, and of course, I mean, there's no evidence that she did have plastic surgery done, but there were a lot of reports back in 1992 in the January issue of People magazine. They reported that she was a recipient of both a facelift and a nose job. You know, so it was documented that she did receive plastic surgery. Of course, no one knows for sure, but if she did, she of course was the queen of being appropriate. I mean, there was nothing that was overdone about it. She looked incredibly elegant, incredibly well for her age. It's something that I think a lot of people should emulate and look to her as an example of how to age gracefully.
Well, somewhat differing opinion. Yes, I do believe she had something done, and I may know more than others when it comes to some things. But, and at one point, I have to say, I was a little unsettled. To me, it was a bit too much. It was a bit too tight. However, considering the time, considering what people were doing at the time, the techniques used in facelifting, they were a little bit different than what we do now. And it sounds like it wasn't that long ago, but in plastic surgery, sometimes that is centuries. And but that has relaxed, and no, it even with that, it was nothing extreme. She just happens to have a thin face, so a lot of things tend to show on it. You can make it too
Interesting.
thin. But I
So
think
you're saying
even
that.
with that, she looked very graceful. And the touch over, that has quickly resolved. And I'm glad she maintained her beauty all the way through.
That's so interesting. I would love to continue talking about the differences in plastic surgery techniques from back then to now, and how people can just be aware of those differences. That's so interesting. So let's talk about that when we come back. We're going to take a quick little break. You're listening to the Dr. Nick Show with me, Jasmine Jacob, and Dr. Nicholas Nikolov, top plastic surgeon in Beverly Hills. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Dr. Nick Show with me, Jasmine Jacob, and Dr. Nicholas Nikolov. Before the break, we talked a little bit about Nancy Reagan and how some of her cosmetic procedures, just giving a little bit of our opinions on what happened with her via plastic
Honestly,
surgery.
Jasmine, today I really don't want to talk about Nancy Reagan's cosmetic procedures. I don't think it's the right day, the right time. And I think we need to remember a woman that has set a standard, has accomplished a lot, has shown all of us how a first lady should behave.
I
And
agree, yes.
it seems totally inappropriate to me to be talking about, oh, did she have a facelift or did she not? What did she
Okay,
have and how
let's
she
drop
looked?
it.
It is,
Yes.
I think we need to recognize the grace which she maintained all her life, even in an old
Right.
age. And if anything, even if it is not about surgery, or it is, the one thing to learn is, yes, she always looked graceful. So if she were to have done something, it worked for her because we perceived her the same way. And we like who she was, how she looked. So if we
Right.
can learn even something when it comes to plastic surgery, is the fact that it helped to maintain her grace, her image, and none of us looked at her and found someone else. It's so frequent that the person that we know, we judge them by the outside covers, and they change the outside, and all of a sudden we don't know whom we're looking at. That she never did, and she managed to accomplish something that very few are able to do. Be 94, and for all people to look at her and say, what a beautiful woman all around.
Right.
So for
Totally
me,
agree.
that's the take-home message. Surgery
Well,
is
Dr.
not
Nick, I
the
am
end
curious.
all.
How can women who are headed towards aging a little bit, headed towards like their upper 60s or 70s, how can they look as graceful as Nancy did? What are some techniques that women should know of in order to maintain that graceful aura and appearance?
Well, that is, boy, I can write a book on that. Ultimately, what it comes down to is a few major points, a few steps you have to take. First, know what you want. Who you are, who are you trying to be? What are you trying to change and why? As I keep saying, don't try to be 20. If you're 50, you're not going to be 20. You're going to look like a ridiculous 50. There are plenty of women that are 50 and look absolutely stunning. And you don't think of them as old, you think of them as beautiful. But if you're trying to look like someone you're not, it's not going to work for you. So first, know where you're headed. know what you don't like and what you're trying to change in your appearance. Be very clear. Two, be very psychologically prepared for the journey. Know there's going to be a change, and the first few weeks and even month or two, it's going to be a bumpy road. Bumpy road, why? Emotionally, you've changed who you are, your face. So one day you'd love it, the next day it's like, oh my God, did I really do this? Is this a good thing? Is everybody going to like who I am now? So for some people, if they're not prepared, it's unsettling. If you're prepared, pretty much it's mostly smiles. But in your own mind, you have to prepare for that journey. Next, find a doctor you can communicate with. You have to be able to express what you're trying to achieve and the doctor to know what you're trying to achieve. If he doesn't know, he's not going to get you there. And of course, it's important for the doctor to have the technical ability to get there. So it's that simple. Just be yourself. Just be a better version of yourself. That should be the goal.
So
hopefully that made it a little easy. We do.
Jacob, Jacob, can you hear us?
Yes. I've been listening to you right here. I've been listening to your conversation right here.
Well, great. Jacob, welcome to the show. Do you have a question?
I don't know anything about plastic surgery, to be quite honest, and I don't know anything about celebrity plastic surgery, but I have a friend, he's in his 60s now, but he was completely unprepared for his surgery. He, as a child, a very young child, was fooling around and playing in a sand dune, and you know how kids are, they'll, you know, they don't really think, you know, the way adults do. And he put on a mask, an old protective mask, like a gas mask, war mask. And at that time, it was old to him. And it, though, back then, they had the glass, not plastic. And so he was sliding down on a piece of wood. He kept sliding down this sand dune, and once he fell wrong, and the glass went into his face.
Wow.
And it ripped his nose off. And he didn't have a plastic surgeon. And, well, he made it out alive. But they didn't have the tools that you have today, or even, you know, just like I said, he didn't have a plastic surgeon. And all he could
so
do
that's
was
your friend
his
that's
on.
65 now?
He's about 65 now, but at the time he was just a little kid, and he didn't have the supervision at the moment, and he was doing stuff on his own.
Well, the good news there, right, the good news is, and that's the good story for everybody, that even if something horrible happens to you, appearance even isn't everything. Yes, you can change it with time, but that does not mean you won't have a prosperous long life. And not that 65 is old, but obviously he's managed to survive with all the cuts. And gluing the nose back then, believe it or not, was pretty revolutionary. So it's something that we're getting back to in the last 10, 15 years and trying to see if we can do it better. So what did he have now? Did he have any surgery done at 65 or?
No. It was only the initial gluing on, which I don't quite understand how that works, but they had to glue it back on. Now, you see, the reason I know about it is because I asked him about his scar.
All right.
A terrible scar.
I would love to talk to you more about that, but we have to take a break. And
sure.
You're listening to the Lifestyle Talk Radio Network. This is Dr. Nicholas Nikolov, and I'm here with Jasmine Jacob. We'll be right back, and I promise we'll get back to you. And a king size tub big enough for 10 plus me.
Dr. Nick Show with Dr. Nicholas Nikola, proud plastic surgeon in Beverly Hills, and me, your co-host, Jasmine Jacob. Before the break, we started to talk to Jacob a little bit. Jacob, are you still there with us?
Yes, ma'am.
Hi, Jacob.
Hi.
So I'm curious on a few things, as far as your friend is concerned.
Sure.
You said he was 65, and obviously he had to have a scar or two on his face from all this trauma.
Right.
What are the stories he was telling? Was he embarrassed about it or proud of them?
Well, he just was more matter-of-fact about it. Basically, I waited years to ask him. I waited years to ask him about it because, I mean, I don't like offending people. He's very silent about it. He never told me until I asked. And I can't remember the whole story, but he just laid it out for me and told me that it didn't rip the whole nose up, I mean, but it was hanging.
Right.
And the way I looked at it and I thought somebody hurt him. I thought somebody had like attacked him or something.
And he wouldn't want to talk about it.
No, he's not the kind of guy that just tells you, you know, just brags about himself or anything.
Did you see him as any less of a person? Did you think, oh my God, look at my friend, he's deformed?
Probably not.
And the point I'm trying to make is, be who you are. You may have a scar, you may have an imperfection, you may hate it, but that's you. Carry it off. If you own it, people won't look at it and say, oh my God, look at him having scars. You know, he's not like the rest of us. He didn't see him any differently than anyone else, any other of your friends. So
no.
If you own who you are and what you have, people will look past any imperfections and still be okay with it. And yes, this is coming from a plastic surgeon. So I hope you realize that I see people, I see their insecurities. It really doesn't matter. You don't have to be perfect. Yes, sometimes it's good to have better harmony, but if you have something, just own it. You may not be able to change it, but nobody else will care if you don't care. And which take us to what a man should look like. You know, especially as a man, you have a few scars here and there. Fortunately, I think as men, we're luckier in that sense. It just makes us look tougher. It's a battle scar. Whatever it is, you know, you can always come up with a good story. And if you really want to be fun at parties, change the story every weekend and see what else you can come up with. You know, use it to your advantage. Have fun with it. It's not that big of a deal. But Jacob, thank you for sharing this story with us. And
thank you, sir.
I think I couldn't have set it up better to some extent. When it comes to how you look, you have to be yourself. Don't apologize. What do you think, Jazz?
I mean, I completely agree. I think, well, you were bringing up something about how men also do plastic surgery as well, and it's something that a lot of us don't think of naturally. I mean, the first time I ever think about plastic surgery, I instantly think about women, but men do get it too, and men, of course, are concerned with their looks. And Jacob's story was really interesting just because he brought up how he knows someone who went through something traumatic and kind of owned the process and never did anything about it. But there are a lot of people who do, and men especially, who do get plastic surgery, and it's kind of their unheard story. So it is interesting, and I'm sure, Dr. Nick, do you see a lot of men who come into your practice and who want plastic surgery done? It's not just a woman thing.
Of course not. Men are just as concerned with their looks.
Yeah, Tom Cruise lately, he was just all over the news recently because he showed up to an award show right next to Leonardo DiCaprio, and his face looked entirely different. And it just goes to show that there are men who do get plastic surgery.
Of course, men are just as concerned about their looks. J. just because you're a man, it doesn't mean you don't care how you look. Maybe what we consider looking good is a little different, and it's probably a little different than what women try to find attractive in a man. But yes, men care about how they look. Nothing wrong with that. However,
do a lot of men like
we can
the,
get away with a lot.
The high cheekbones and the defined jaw, because that's something I like. And I feel like a lot of guys would want that.
Well, having nice cheekbones is very important. And it defines the face. It chisels the face. Having a defined jawline is very important for men and women. But again, the stronger it is for a man, the more manly you look. You have a big chin, wide angle on the side, which is the mandibular angle. That sounds too technical, but really it makes you look manly. But when you're trying to look good too hard, and you're trying to put these apple cheeks on, it's got to be a little more chiseled. All of a sudden, you look like Heidi from the Alps yodeling with rosy cheeks, and you no longer look manly. You have to be careful in how far you go. And that's the art. Do something if it bothers you, but especially as a man, whatever you think is going to look good, maybe do about half of it.
So what are like typical procedures that men ask for or get when they come into your office? Do they bring in like a picture of someone that they want to look like? Is there like a specific thing that's attractive to for men that they constantly want to get that procedure done?
This is going to sound like a really sexist comment, but I can tell you're not a man asking the question. Men don't plan that much. They don't sit there, stare at pictures and bring pictures and oh my God, can you make me look like that? It's a rarity. Most
wow.
of the time, it's, you know, my nose has been bothering me. It's way too big. I got in a few fights. It's to the side. I can't breathe. Can you make it better? And I'm talking about educated, sophisticated men, not necessarily people that you think would have no idea. Oh yeah, I'll breathe better, good. And it'd be a little straighter and smaller, I'm good with that. And unfortunately, I have to take the time frequently to educate them about the subtleties so they make some better choices. And I feel at times I'm even forcing them just to get to know what is being done, why, and what the outcome is. Because not as detail-oriented as women. Women would want to have every single thing mapped out, know exactly where it's going to be, at least most. Men, quite the opposite. Oh, just make it smaller, make it straight, and I just want to breathe better. So, no, men are not that detailed. I don't think I remember the last time a man brought me pictures saying, oh, I want to look like that. Actually, I did have one, and it wasn't a nose. Somebody came in, and I think they did a reality show out of it. I wasn't the surgeon because I refused. But somebody came in trying to look like Brad Pitt and brought me a picture of Brad Pitt. And he never looked, I mean, except for the acne scarring, there was nothing else that looked like Brad Pitt, from hair to face to body. So it was kind of a little comical because of the circumstances on top of it, but he's probably the only person I can think of as a man that brought me photos and telling me he wants to look like Brad Pitt. It's not that common. But for a man, take your foot off the pedal a little bit. Look like a man, just a little cleaner. You're not supposed to be perfect. And unfortunately, the stigma is, as a man, you're not supposed to care how you look, but women still want you to look good. You're just not supposed to just happen, and naturally you happen to look good. So play the game, pretend, You can care, but don't care too much.
All right. Well, we have to take a quick little break, but when we come back, we'll continue talking about men and plastic surgery and some common procedures for men out there, you men out there that are interested. So we'll be right back. You're listening to the Dr. Nick Show on the Lifestyle Talk Radio with me, Jasmine Jacob, and your host, Dr. Nick. We'll be right back. Dr. Nicholas Nikolov, top plastic surgeon in Beverly Hills, and me, your co-host, Jasmine Jacob. So, Dr. Nick, I brought this up before the break, but now that we're on the topic of common plastic surgery procedures for men, I saw that Tom Cruise recently online, I think he was at the 2016 BAFTA Film Awards in London, and it looked like he had something done to his face. His cheeks were a little bit more puffier, his skin looked really smooth, and obviously, you know, now that he's getting older, of course, he's a celebrity, it's natural for him to get things done to slow the aging process. Do a lot of men, you talked about how men do come into your practice, is this, what gets done for them to slow that aging process?
Well, there are a lot of things, and I'll make a comment about Tom Cruise at the end, because I have a strong feeling about this whole situation and fascination. But first, let's talk about, as a man, you hit 50, 55. Again, you still look good, but you can look better. What is it that you can do? And there are a few things out there that are easy. First thing, the neck goes. You may have an extra pound or two on you. And as a result, the neck starts hanging. It's a little bit fatter. Cleaning that up, taking some of the fat, maybe tightening the muscles that are starting to form some of the bands there, that would help a great deal. Doesn't mean you have to go to a facelift. And again, depending on how you look, maybe you need to, but for most men, that's still an age you can get away with just a little cleanup. Spruce up your skin. There are a few things, and I keep mentioning one of my favorite things, the Fraktur, the fractionated radio frequency. It treats the skin, it tightens it, it looks better. Again, you don't look like you've had anything done. And it makes you look better without any signs of plastic surgery. Your eyelids, usually the upper ones first, you get some extra skin puffiness, clean that up. And yes, it takes surgery. Cleaning it up, it's not as easy as just putting some cream on. The lower eyelids, maybe they're puffy, maybe not. If they're not, leave them alone. If you have a few wrinkles, use the Fraktur or a little laser just to clean up the skin. Remember, you don't have to be perfect. You just have to look good. And having a wrinkle or two on a man, not the worst thing in the world. Looking done for a man, a woman can get away with it. A man, it's a little harder. It's
right.
It's not as accepted for a man to have a lot done or try so hard to look good. But those are some easy things to do. And if you need to have a facelift, again, don't try to get your money's worth. This is not, oh, I paid my money, I want every millimeter of skin cut out and pulled as tight as possible. It's not going to last any longer. You're just going to look weird. So having a little restraint and how far you go helps. But hopefully that answers some of your questions.
We have a caller right now on the line. Nancy?
Hey, how's it going?
Hi, hey. Nancy. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So, how can we help you?
I just wanted to call in. I heard you guys were talking about aging, and I had some questions for myself. I was wondering, what are some, if you had any tips, I'm in my early 20s, but I obviously don't want to start aging in the next 10 years. I was wondering, what could I start doing now to prevent aging without having to go under the knife?
Be kind to yourself. I know it sounds like a very simple answer, but that really is what it comes down to. If you're kind to yourself in terms of emotions, you'll be okay. Why are you so worried about aging? What's prompting that?
My mom's just always been super hyper aware of skin creams, and she's been talking so much about Botox lately, saying she wishes she started doing it in her 20s so that to prevent wrinkles now, because she's in her 40s now. And it's just been making me think a lot about, oh, well, what's my skincare regime like? Am I doing the right things? Am I using the right products? I have no opposition myself to plastic surgery, but I kind of want to avoid that later down the road if I can. So I've just been wondering, what can I do now to get started early and get a heads up?
Well, I can tell you, thank God the rest of the world is not like you, because as a plastic surgeon, if everybody was in their 20s, and just by listening to you, I doubt you need anything done. I certainly will be closing shop. So I doubt you need much. But it goes back to what I just said. Be kind to yourself. Emotional stress, you have to be, it sounds like, oh, you know, what does that have to do with it? If you're calm, you're not stressed, whatever you think may be, could be sports, could be meditation, could be anything. But relieving that stress and being in a peaceful place works. Number two, watch what you eat. What goes in, some of the bad stuff stays in your body. So it's important. Exercise. Avoid the sun, and that's being kind to yourself. As far as using creams, you don't need a whole lot at that age. Just use very simple care, skin care, where you clean your skin if it's oily. And if it's not, don't dry it out too much. I don't think you need any major creams unless you happen to be an extreme exception. Botox, if you're in 20, unless you happen to be really expressive and you frown a lot, squint a lot, you have really light eyes and you squint a whole lot, it's very unlikely you need it. And even as a preventative thing, it's probably way too early. So we're running out of time, but I tried to quickly sum up some of the things. Please don't go overboard. When you have it, your goal is to maintain it. And for all the listeners out there, be kind to yourself, treat yourself well. That gives you beauty. Have self-confidence, own who you are and how you look.
Yes.
And that matters more than anything else.
Yes. Well, thanks so much for calling, Nancy. And guys, thanks so much for listening to the Dr. Nick Show with me, Jasmine Jacob, and Dr. Nicholas Nikolov. Please tune in next time. Thanks so much.
The opinions you hear on Lifestyle Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Lifestyle Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Lifestyle Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or service. If you have any questions about Lifestyle Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at lifestyletalkradio.com.